Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Again, I'd like to consider with you a part of the gospel reading, especially the first part, as Jesus heals this paralytic. A few days later, when Jesus was again in Capernaum, the people heard that he had come to the home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is God's word. Please be seated. What do you really, really need in life? My brother-in-law always used to say, "The only thing I need is a Bible, a guitar, and a clean pair of underwear." That's what he said. I ask myself that question sometimes too. And when I do, I usually get to feeling kind of guilty about all of the material blessings that I enjoy in this life. And the guilt becomes especially acute when perhaps a missionary is visiting us who has basically forsaken all of the material blessings of this world to go out and to bring God's word to a people far, far away. But don't worry, this morning I'm not going to berate you for the things that you have and enjoy. And I'm not going to offer you any graduation speech cliches about focusing yourself on the things that you really need in this life. I am going to suggest this morning that what you really need in life is more, not less. You need more than you even realize. Wasn't it St. Paul who said, "God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine"? Sometimes the problem in life is not that we claim too much, but too little. Our gospel reading today is the story of a man who needed more than he even realized. And he received more than he sought. If you had asked this paralyzed man and his friends what this man needed the most, he would have said, "Well, I need to be able to walk." Without the use of legs, his life was a mess. He couldn't work to provide for himself or for his family. He was forced to live off of the generosity and the charity of his family and friends, and no doubt felt like a burden to them. But then Jesus came to town, and so this man's friends convinced him to go see Jesus, and perhaps he could be healed as so many other people had been healed before. So he consented, and his friends carried him, mat and all, to the house where Jesus was preaching in Capernaum. And because the house was so jam-packed with people, these men figured out this wonderfully creative way. Wonderful, I guess, if you're not the house owner, but this wonderfully creative way to get this man to Jesus and to get the Lord's attention. And they dug a hole in the roof, and they gave this homeowner a free skylight in the process. And I wonder if maybe if this wasn't the inspiration for Santa Claus. There they are, up on the housetop, dig, 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 down through the skylight, the man on the rig. Well, it took a long time to write that. In any case, these men were thinking that what their friend needed most of all was to get his legs back under him and to walk again. But Jesus didn't see it that way. He sees in this man a much greater need. And so when he sees him, he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And you know, I wonder if when he said that, there wasn't right after that a long, silent pause during which the teachers of the law who were there were just fuming because he does not have the authority to say such things, but during which those friends were thinking to themselves, "That's it? You're forgiven? We brought this man all the way here and we dug a hole through this guy's roof and all you can say is you're forgiven? What about healing the man so he can walk again?" But isn't that the way it is with us? We are inhabitants of this frail flesh. We are caught up in this fallen world And about the best thing we can imagine for ourselves is a life that's relatively free from problems and troubles. We want our family and friends who are sick to be healed. We want our children who have gone astray to come back to us. We want our finances to be fixed so that we don't have to have any more money worries. We come here today with so many things that paralyze us in life. So many things that we wish Jesus would fix for us. I wish He would make me well again. I wish He would give me a better marriage. I wish He would magically take away my debt. I wish He would snap His fingers and just like that make everything all better again. But what do we get instead? Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. We come to the Lord asking to be released from the consequences of sin. But our Lord wants to release us from sin itself. My guess is that as we gather here in the church, there are many of us sitting right here and right now who would acknowledge that our need for forgiveness is great. After all, we have learned how to answer the questions that are posed in and around church. Here the answers are always Jesus and forgiveness. But what about when you're sitting down with your doctor? What about when you're sitting down with your financial planner or your tax accountant? What about when you're sitting down with your family at a dinner together? Like that ever happens. How does forgiveness figure into your list of needs and priorities when you are off the church property? At such times, which is most of the time, you don't see a lot of people going out of their way seeking the forgiveness of God. I mean, I can't remember when the last time was when somebody dropped through my office ceiling just imploring me for absolution for some sin they had committed. It's just not what's on people's minds. And I think the problem we have is something like the problem the Pharisees had. You see, we just don't think of ourselves as that bad of sinners. We certainly haven't done anything that's worth tearing a hole in somebody's roof or imploring the mercy of Christ. We are little sinners. We commit little sins. You know, the little things like a little lie, a little moment of lust, the little thing that we stole, that little slip of the tongue, that little tinge of envy, the little violations of God's law. And because we sin little, we also think little of our need for forgiveness. Which is why Jesus once said that when it comes to forgiveness, those big sinners, the really big sinners, the prostitutes and the thieves and the tax collectors, they actually have something of an advantage over us because at least they understand their need to be forgiven. And they are more open to receiving what Jesus wants to give them most of all. Remember King David? After he committed his huge, gargantuan sin of adultery and murder? Now there was a man who needed forgiveness more than anything else in his life. This was the greatest need of his life. Just listen to how David describes this need in the 32nd Psalm. He says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." You see, when it comes to the need for forgiveness, the big sinners don't need a lot of convincing. It's the little sinners, like us, who tend to think that in the balance we are good enough for God. We are sometimes the more difficult ones to reach. And so we have been given this story of this paralyzed man who did not even realize what his greatest need was. Oh, sure, he was forgiven. I mean, he was also healed that day. He was able to walk, but that was only to prove the authority of Jesus to do the greater miracle, the forgiving of his sins. But the man didn't even realize he needed that. He just wanted relief from the consequences of sin. The Lord wanted to release him from sin itself. That was the reason Christ came into this world. He came to obliterate sin, not to make every paralytic rise up and walk. He came to obliterate every sin, big or little, because all of it is an offense to the holiness of God, and all of it separates us from God, big or little. It makes no difference. We've all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. I mean, if you and I were all going to try to jump across the Grand Canyon, what difference does it really make how far short you fall of the goal? All right, so the really, really big sinners, they fall short by thousands and thousands of feet. But us little sinners, we do a little better than they, and we only fall short by 1,000 feet. But is not our fate the same? We all desperately need what Christ offers us as of first importance, the forgiveness of our sins. And the good news is that He not only has the authority to do it, as we read here, He also pays for it. He paid for it with His life, with His suffering, with the shedding of His blood, and with His death. It is that for which He came. That was the hour for which He lived when He gave Himself upon the cross. And it is this which He delights to give you above all else, full and free, the forgiveness of your sins. That was the joy that was set before Him when He endured the cross and He scorned its shame, that He might reach out to you in grace and forgiveness. There is a story that is told in Spain of a father who had become estranged from his son. His son had run away, and so the father went out seeking him, but had been trying for months to no avail. So finally, in a last desperate effort to reach his son, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper, and the ad read this way: "Dear Paco," that was his son's name, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." And wouldn't you know, on Saturday at noon, in front of the paper office, 800 people named Paco showed up seeking the forgiveness and the love of their father. What do we need more than anything? We need that restored relationship with our Father. And that's exactly what Christ offers you in His Word and here in the sacrament. And you don't even have to dig a hole through the roof to get to it. I wouldn't suggest doing that anyway. That wonderful standing seam metal roof we now have, very hard to dig through. And I don't think the trustees would appreciate it anyway. But I don't think they will mind if you bust down the doors and you wear out the carpets and you rub the finish off of the pews and even smear some windows. Sorry, Don and Dolores, for talking like that, but it's what the church is here for. To be a channel by which Christ pours upon us that which He loves to give us the most and which we don't even realize we need sometimes. What a blessing to come here without having to dig through the roof and to hear Jesus say, "My daughter, my son, your sins are forgiven." In the precious name of our Savior, amen.